With all the current issues on our agenda, we tend to forget that we are in the midst of the fourth industrial revolution, which accelerates global change in much more comprehensive and faster ways than the previous three revolutions.
And you see, the difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah. And of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
We need to realize that humans are now hackable animals. You can hack them.
A good two-way communication system, direct communication system between brains and computers, this is kind of the watershed moment. I mean, once you have a good two-way, nobody has any idea what happens after that.
Well, I think maybe in a couple of decades when people look back, the thing they will remember from the COVID crisis is this is the moment when everything went digital. And if this was the moment when everything became monitored, that we agreed to be surveyed all the time, not just in authoritarian machines, but even in democracies. And maybe most importantly at all, this was the moment when surveillance started going under the...
Now, in a way, this was a dream of dictators and totalitarian regimes throughout history. But they were never able to actually accomplish this. Even if you have a KGB agent following you around 24 hours a day, they still don't really know what's happening inside you. And technically, you can't have a KGB agent following every Soviet citizen around 24 hours a day because you don't have 200 million KGB agents. It's impossible. Now it is becoming possible. It's possible for the first time in history to follow everybody all the time. And it's possible, it is becoming possible to go under the skin. It's not just seeing where you go, who you meet, what you say. It's actually understanding what you feel and what you think. And
there's a report from a joint report from the government of the UK and Germany about transhumanism.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, this is one of the agendas of the World Economic Forum. That's not hidden. It's not a conspiracy, transhumanism. And they talk about the RNA vaccines as an entry point, kind of opening that space ethically and otherwise. So that's part of the push for why these particular products is it relates to that transhumanism agenda. And the
For anybody who doesn't know, transhumanism, explain it, break it down.
So transhumanism is the belief, is the technology suite, I think is the best way to put it, around the idea of both mechanical and biological modification of humans for improved longevity and performance, I think, in general, and could be improved cognition also. So
doesn't this strike anyone as maybe territory we shouldn't go into?
So humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's over. Free will, that's over.
That's over.
Over. Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to. But in a crisis, you see we have no chance. So let's do it.
People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin.
I think there's going to be a lot of breakthroughs on the medical front, particularly around synthetic mRNA. You can basically do anything with synthetic RNA, DNA. it's like a computer program. So, I mean, I think with enough, with effort, that's not too crazy. You could probably stop aging, reverse it if you want. These are, you can basically do anything. You can turn someone into a freaking butterfly if you want with the right DNA sequence.
Historian Yuval Harari has developed his vision of the future by studying the past. His Israeli roots are of crucial importance to the formation of his view of the future.
Well, I think that living in Israel and in the Middle East gives you a different perspective on the modern age and on technology in general.
Harari's story is catching. He effortlessly defines the connection between the past and the future and explains what influence the development of technology has had on humanity. He's now using all of that knowledge to give us his vision for the future.
With especially the rise of brain-computer interfaces and biometric sensors and so forth, it is very likely that within, say, 50 years, people will literally be part of a network. All the bodies, all the brains would be connected together to a network, and you won't be able to survive if you're disconnected from the net, because your own body parts, your own immune system, perhaps depends on being constantly connected to the colony, to the network.
So just to give you the range, it's now 600 highly educated people located around the world, particularly in Geneva, where our headquarters is. So that's the forum. This is a very disturbing the progress for many people, and they just feel overwhelmed. And you develop some kind of a bunker mentality. You say, why not my little small world? And this creates a kind of tendency to of egoism, maybe even nationalism, fundamentalism. You want to go back to the old world. And that's, for example, also certainly one of the reasons for the success of presidential candidate Trump.
I'm very honored and pleased to introduce the Honorable Joe Biden, the Vice President of the United States. I'm so pleased to see you back here in Davos, because I remember before you assumed your position as Vice President of the United States, you came here as a senator, you came here as the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Senate. And I have to say, in my memory, you were one of the most engaged and hardest working participants here at the annual meeting.
You've written extensively on the topic that you've asked me to speak to. Mastering the Fourth Industrial Revolution. This fora defines that as a change fueled by a digital revolution.
And you see, the difference of this Fourth Industrial Revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing,
right.
Just as an example, it's you who exactly. are changed. Yeah. And of yeah. course, this has a big impact on yeah. your identity.
Yeah. Data processing is the new source of authority. Don't listen to the Bible and don't listen to your feelings. Listen to Amazon, listen to Google. They know how you feel. They know you better than you know yourself. And they can make better decisions on your behalf than you can. I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news. You don't have any answer in the Bible what to do when humans are no longer useful to the economy. You need completely new ideologies, completely new religions, and they are likely to emerge from Silicon Valley or from Bangalore and not from the Middle East. And they are likely to give people visions based on technology. Everything that the old religions promised, happiness and justice and even eternal life, but here on earth with the help of technology and not after death with the help of some supernatural being. So we may be facing in the 21st century a completely new kind of inequality, which we have never seen before in human history. On the one hand, the emergence of a new upgraded elite of superhumans, enhanced by bioengineering and brain-computer interfaces and things like that. And on the other hand, a new massive useless class, a class that has no military or economic usefulness, and therefore also no political power.
I think that the biggest question in maybe in economics and politics of the coming decades will be what to do with all these useless people. The problem is more boredom and what to do with them, and how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless.
What does a world look like when it is dominated by super intelligent but non-conscious algorithms?
Sapiens, and it's written by Professor Yuval Noah Harari. And I found the book because it was recommended on a book list by Bill Gates and later Barack Obama as one of the most influential books that both of them had read within the last 10 years. So if it was good enough for them, I had to check it out, and it absolutely blew my mind.
We are in the process of acquiring divine abilities, of turning us in ourselves into gods. And I mean this in the most literal sense possible. It's not a metaphor.
At least this year, we do need more money. But we don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic.
We have to believe that it's possible to stop a localized outbreak becoming a raging global pandemic. And that means better surveillance, more transparency, frankly, by all member states. If they think something's happened, it's got to be reported. And the WHO needs the power to be on the site with whatever teams need to be deployed. It needs to be able to publish the information it has rather than, you know, beg countries for permission to do it. It's got to be able to take a precautionary approach in running up a flag. And it's got to be able to declare an emergency without being kneecapped by an emergency committee. These are basic things that need to be dealt with in a review of the international health regulations. Otherwise, we will lose weeks again next time something happens.
Ideally, the response to COVID should be the establishment of a global healthcare system, a basic healthcare system for the entire human race.
Now, we did have countries that did a good job. Australia is an example. So we have to create a new team. I believe we should create what I call the germ team. GERM stands for Global Epidemic Response and Mobilization. This group is full-time. Their only priority is pandemic prevention.
With all the current issues on our agenda, we tend to forget that we are in the midst of the fourth industrial revolution.
This is not about stealing sovereignty from countries. This is about countries coming together to solve problems together. We've seen the climate change, we see with pandemics. There is no national solution to these. We need strong national systems, and we need strong national commitments on climate change. We need strong national commitments on preparedness. But that's not enough. We need to be able to come together at a global level and make the necessary commitments to do the preparedness, to do the prevention, to get ourselves ready and to respond effectively in the next pandemic. That requires a degree of international agreement on how we will behave before and during the next pandemic. And there is no question of any loss of sovereignty or any play by global powers to take over the world. This is not what this is about. This is about finding the necessary level of agreement to protect all of our communities in the future.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go, you know the thing.
We will shut you down. We will cite you, and if we need to, we will arrest you, and we will take you to jail. Period.
I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
God actually spoke to me. He spoke about sacredness. He said to me, Kim, what I place in many, many people is sacred. And if anybody touches what is sacred to me, then it is the end for them. So what I've done in the United States of America is sacred. And there are people on every side that are trying to destroy what I deem sacred. And it's not going to happen.
This is the definition of criminal conspiracy, racketeering, and collusion. This is not a theory. This is evidence.
Because I have upheld this country to spread a light to the rest of the world. When you choose to go against the sacred thing that God put into the very heart and the soil of this nation, this was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Become popular. Can anyone tell me? First of all, he sounds like Kermit the Frog.
You knew this year, Andy.